Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
If you hear this sound, that means this episode is also featured on our YouTube channel as a video. Head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check it out.
Warning. This episode contains foul language and mentions of murder, mass graves, and infant death.
For all things strange and unusual, mystical and musical, cringy and criminal, and sometimes it's full of bones. Each week we have the pleasure of sitting down from across this beautiful country of ours and chatting about something weird, and it is my favorite thing ever. And this week, we are discovering more spooky songs. I cannot believe how many spooky songs there are. Should we stop singing forever? We're traveling across the world to investigate a very creepy lake that may or may not be the entrance to hell. We're skirting around the edge of a true crime story that has a positive ending but is still extremely sad. Great. Sorry ahead of time. And we're going to check in with Lulu to see what's happening this month in the world of the weird. So it looks like you're going to need some serious climbing gear, some earplugs, a shovel, and maybe some tissues to get you through this week's high strangeness. My name is Ashley, and this is my lovely co-host, Lauren.
Hello, weirdos.
Hi.
Hey.
And we are both drinking Simply Lemonade with raspberry and tequila.
A little bit of tequiki. And now your straw isn't long. It's normal, but
no,
mine is.
Normal straw.
I have a Hulk straw from my son.
And how's the sucking power on that straw? How many Mississippis does it take to get to your mouth?
Let's see. One and a half
hey,
Mississippis from
that
Mr.
was my old
Hulk.
This was a 1.5 Mississippi.
There's her long straw.
This one is not even one Mississippi. Goes straight to the brain.
Straight to the brain. Also,
too much
reflection of the ring light.
Oh,
we're not,
well,
we're,
all right.
I'm just going to be
blind.
We're
not going to do it.
It's fine.
Listen, if you need it to read, put it on to read, old grandma. Actually, so Leah and I, when I went to Nashville a couple weeks ago, we went to see Sonia T. Morgan at
our girl.
I don't remember the winery's name, but it was a really nice little winery in Nashville, and it was great. And we went to see Sonia, one of the Real Housewives of New York City. But the reason I bring this up is because we got into this place, and the lighting is dim and moody, and these old bitches could not read the menu, and the ladies across from us gave us their reading glasses, and I was like... And it helped. Like, I was able to read the menu, and I was like, okay, great.
Oh, no. So you've turned into that person that's like, what is on this dang flim?
Exactly.
On the end of your nose?
Truly. No. I'm getting readers to take to dimly lit restaurants so I could see the menu. It's time, I guess.
Are you going to call them readers or cheaters? That's what my dad calls them. And that just
Your
feels
cheaters?
Like the old... Like, I got to get my cheaters. Maybe it's not my dad. I shouldn't say that in case it was like a grandparent.
Jeff.
And not him. I feel like he'd say readers. But I have heard a grandparent or an uncle say cheaters. And I'm like, oh, no.
I've never heard cheaters, but that's funny. Maybe I will call them cheaters. Last week, we only fit in two stories. So this week, we are going to start right away, and we are going to get four stories in, or at least three. Lauren is going to start.
And why don't we just start it the way we ended it with depressing? No, I'm just kidding. It's not as depressing. It's more... No, it still is depressing. But beware of ballads that can invade your brain. Make no mistake of the melodies that cause pain. Tune out the tunes that cause you to quiver. Hymns that haunt are sure to send a shiver. Cursed crooners and spooky songs, crooked covers and scary sing-alongs, cold courses and sordid sonnets, crazy canters and sinful soloists, cursed crooners and spooky songs. Cursed crooners and spooky songs. Cursed crooners and spooky songs. This is the sponsored segment from our friend Mel. She brought it to us. It was such a genius idea because, as Ashley said, like, how have we not run out of creepy, weird songs?
How many spooky songs are there?
And I feel like eventually we're going to take a deep dive into other things of, like, musicians that were, you know, haunted and went through things, all the stuff. So I love it. Thank you, Mel. And also she wants to add in shoutyourabortion.com. That is the website that she is sponsoring for anybody who needs a safe space, needs resources. If you happen to live in a Handmaid's Tale-esque state, shoutyourabortion.com is where you want to go. They can offer help. They can offer therapies. They can offer anything that you might need.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Okay, cursed crooners and spooky songs. Today, we are talking about one that I had heard of. Again, it was one of those like, oh yeah, I've heard that mentioned before, but then did a deep dive on a Reddit forum that then took me down other rabbit holes.
Opened
but it is
your
the
world.
My Way Killings. Honestly, that was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
If I do so myself. Okay, so this story is hard for many reasons because it has a darkness to it, but also it involves karaoke, which is one of my all-time
That's
favorite
one of
hobbies.
Your favorite things. And one of my favorite things worst in the nightmares. Universe.
But you've done it before, and I happened to not be there when you and Joe did it, and I still haven't forgiven you because you did it at a party that I couldn't be at, and you just told me how much fun it was. Didn't you punch Joe in the face?
Blacked out and hit Joe in the mouth with a very hard metal microphone, so you didn't miss much.
I would have
You'd
loved.
Miss a good performance.
I would have loved to see all of that. Okay.
That was also the night that Ben, who I mentioned on last week's episode, apparently he and I planned a trip to Joshua Tree, but it wasn't me. I wasn't there. It was Jennifer or Jessica or whoever my alter ego is. So the next day he texted me. He's like, so Joshua Tree, we leaving Friday or Saturday? And I was like, Ben, I don't know who you talked to last night.
It wasn't me.
There wasn't
me.
I'm not going to Joshua
Tree. I hate to break it to you.
I hate to break it to you. I fucking hate Joshua Tree. Yes. The desert sucks.
We're not going. That is so good. So anyway, I'm very sad that I didn't hear about it. Or I wasn't there. Sorry. But anyway. So anyway, this is about karaoke. It's upsetting for many reasons. Here we go. In East Asia, specifically, karaoke is one of the most popular pastimes.
Oh, yeah. They fucking love it.
We all know this. Yeah. It is the thing to do. However, the widespread popularity of public singing and karaoke has led to some frightening occurrences. Several people in the Philippines and China have actually lost their lives during renditions of Frank Sinatra's 1969 hit, My Way.
How is this real?
How is it real? But it is. Similar to other songs I've done on here, it's like the facts are there, whether you want to believe in the curse or not. How, what, why? So let us take a peek into these strange circumstances and what have become known as the My Way Killings. For a large portion of my childhood, I also want to put in, this is an embarrassing story that you all need to enjoy with me. I thought the song My Way was an original song from the award-winning film George of the Jungle, because the movie ends with one of the apes singing it and performing it, I think, when he gets a Las Vegas residency.
Oh, and I thought, so you were like, I love the song My Way from George of the Jungle.
Yep. I said it until high school. I'm not proud of it.
We all have those.
So anyway, just had to slice that in. But okay, so there are said to be as many as 12 My Way karaoke-related murders since the year 2002. That's how real this is.
12.
One of the earliest and most well-documented cases took place in 2007, and a newspaper called the Philippine Star reported on it, saying that 29-year-old Romy Baligula was halfway through his rendition of My Way at a karaoke bar in San Mateo when a security guard complained that he was off key. Romy ignored the complaint and continued on, which proved to be a grave mistake. The 43-year-old guard, Robelito Ortega, was so enraged that he pulled out a .38 caliber pistol and shot the singer
as
in the chest.
This was the first off-key singer he had heard at this karaoke bar.
Guard at a karaoke bar.
That's your literal job. Was it his first night?
To listen to terrible people. I know. I'm like, are you new? What is going on? And I don't know if he just had an attachment to the song and was like, you better do this song justice. I don't
know
what it was.
As we will discover, the song is cursed. Go on.
It's the song. So we shot the singer in the chest. Baligula died instantly at the scene, and Ortega was detained by an off-duty police officer who happened to be there soon afterwards. So what? Why? Another very high-profile My Way killing took place in the central Chinese city of Xi'an in 2012. A family had gathered at a local karaoke bar for a singing session, family reunion, and a four-year-old boy had the microphone and was singing to My Way, much to the amusement of his parents. Two of the boy's uncles, however, began to point the finger at this man and his wife, saying, "You have a spoiled child. He is a little emperor," which I guess is a phrase of saying, like, you have spoiled him rotten. You're telling him he's good when he's not. He's a brat. They get very angry at the parents of this child. And it's like, hello, you're the uncles. Chill out. The argument turned into a full-on physical fight with pushing and even punches being thrown. At this point, Mr. Yun's nephew, Mr. Hugh, fled to the nearby noodle shop where he worked and promptly returned with a meat cleaver. I won't go into the gory details, but Mr. Hugh attacked the two uncles and both men died at the scene.
Okay. What? So, this is making me think of Josie and the Pussycats, like somewhere in underneath the lyrics.
It's like subliminal.
My Way is like
messaging,
a subliminal message to
go
make
kill
you enraged.
So-and-so. Yep.
Because neither of these scenarios seem real.
That no, I was like, again, it was similar to, I think it was the Gloomy Sunday that I covered last time I did cursed songs. I had to go and search these stories to be like, did this really happen? This just feels like hearsay, but it is real.
Okay.
And it's when this song is happening, it enrages people. It causes fights. I don't know what it is. And I love that you referenced Josie and the Pussycats because I think of that.
Frank Sinatra either?
No.
No offense.
I sure don't.
I think he was a hottie bobody, and I really enjoyed his performance in Manchurian Candidate. But not a huge fan. I don't think it would cause me to leave the premises and get a meat cleaver and come back and kill family members, but
yes.
Okay, go on.
I know. And I know it was confusing talking about the nephews and the uncles. There were adult nephews present and also younger ones. Yeah, so, but just no children were harmed because I probably wouldn't have been able to read that story if that was the case. But the uncles, unfortunately, were unalived at the scene.
Can't wait for my next story. Go on.
Good. Oh, good.
Sorry.
The violence inspired by this song has led to My Way being completely banned in most karaoke bars across the Philippines. That's how real and seriously they are taking it. So many of the My Way murders have taken place in the Philippines, and so that's where it's most widely banned, and a few places in China it is also banned, but not as much as in the Philippines. But there is a man named Butch Albasarin. He is the owner of Center for Pop, a Manila-based singing school. He stepped forward to add his own theory. He feels like he really understands the murders in the song and wanted to speak on it, which I'm just like, listen, none of us know what's going on. But he said, it's the lyrics. that might be the key to inspiring such anger and animosity in the unhappy listeners. He was quoted saying, "This song, written by Paul Anka, in my way, are unapologetic, some would say arrogant, summing up of a person's life. They reveal that the singer has come through all these different adversities because basically they're just an awesome person who can deal with anything life throws at them. Mm-hmm. I did it my way. It's so arrogant." This is from an interview he did with the New York Times. He continues, "The lyrics evoke feelings of pride and arrogance in the singer, as if you're somebody when you're really nobody. It covers up your failures, and that is why I think it leads to fights." And I do hear him. I hear what he's saying. Yeah. I'm like,
it's a
go
cocky
and
song.
Break down the lyrics. Yeah. It's super cocky. And I mean, even the way Frank Sinatra sings it, I feel like it does come, it comes off very cocky. But even though I see what he's saying, yeah, exactly what you said. It feels like a stretch. The grabbing a meat cleaver, pulling a pistol out of your pocket, getting into any kind of physical altercation, even like the punches over this song to me is like, relax, it is karaoke. And I just, it feels so crazy for it just to be because of some arrogant lyrics. So
you're giving
guess
me
that
more
could
and
be
more
true.
Reasons to hate karaoke. Go on.
That is unfortunate, because that was what I was gonna say at the end of this, was like, don't hate karaoke. Or maybe it is a reason to stay home. But basically, I wanted to end it on the song My Way, because there are several instances that you can go up and look up. Again, there are 12 known ones, and there may be even, you know, smaller physical altercations that didn't end in murder that also happened to the song, resulting in it being banned. So you can go down your own rabbit hole, but I just kind of want to know what everyone thinks. Is it because of the arrogant lyrics? Is it because it's cursed? Is it a cursed song? Is it a cursed crooner? Is it because of Frank Sinatra? Is it because of Paul Anka? I don't know.
Is it because of Josie and the Pussycats?
Is it because of Josie and the Pussycats? What is beneath the song? What has been put underneath there? Subliminal messaging. But also, this is a total side note, but this one made me really upset. In March of 2008, a man in Thailand shot several members of a family after becoming enraged with their rendition of John Denver's Country Roads. And that is one of my all-time favorite songs, and we sing it at every Dr. Spaceman show. So that one really upset me, because now I'm scared to do it. I'm scared to do karaoke, which is another one of my favorite pastimes.
It doesn't seem to be cursed in the United States, which is interesting that it's cursed in another country and causes so much outrage in that country.
I know. I mean, across a continent.
Yeah.
Really. Like all, like.
That's true.
Most of Asia.
Asia.
It is very interesting. I know, you're right. We don't hear about it in the U.S. So I think I can live another day singing karaoke, but what's going on?
Yeah, what is going on?
What is up with My Way? Maybe it's because, no, because this happened. No, when did George of the Jungle come out? It's because the apes sang it.
No, I don't think it's the ape and George of the Jungle that's behind. But you know what? Stranger things have happened, okay? Maybe it's the ape from George of the Jungle, and we will never know.
Oh, I'm crying a little because it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And on this show, that's not true, but it's one of the dumbest.
Yeah, we could put it in the list.
Put it in the pile.
We could add it. That would have been a really good derp corner, too.
It's the disrespect of the ape singing My Way that added to the curse. Oh, well, it could be connected. We don't know.
It could be.
I don't know why I'm crying. Okay, Ashley, just take it away.
Tequila. Well, I need you to help me with this one, because what time is it? True crime time.
It's our vacation. What time is it? Time of our lives. Let's ride. Scream aloud. Time is it? Party time. I hit my boobs so hard when I did the robot arm.
I heard a slap. Okay. Get it together.
Here we go. True crime time.
This is actually extremely wild and depressing and sad, but in a little true crimey, but please follow me down this rabbit hole, because I think that the events that take place are pretty wild. So on July 7th, 1989, in Jefferson County, Missouri, A three-month-old baby named Ryan Stallings was rushed to a St. Louis hospital by his parents, Patricia and David Stallings. He had been refusing to breastfeed for 24 hours, and he began to breathe really fast and appeared increasingly sick and lethargic. Tests that were conducted at the hospital concluded he had unusually high levels of ethylene glycol in his blood, which was a clear indicator he had been poisoned with antifreeze.
Oh my God.
3-month-old baby. So Ryan Stallings, the baby, eventually recovered, but ended up being placed in protective custody and taken away from his parents. And the parents, Patricia and Ryan, nope, Ryan's the baby, Patricia and David were allowed once a week supervised visitations with Ryan. Okay. And 8 weeks later, Patricia Stallings went in for her supervised visit with Ryan and his foster parents. The next day, Ryan began vomiting and having muscle spasms and was again breathing really fast, almost hyperventilating. And again, at the hospital, high levels of ethylene glycol were found in his blood. And this time, unfortunately, so horrific, Ryan did not recover. And on September 4th, he passed away. And when investigators looked into it, antifreeze was found by authorities at the home of Patricia and David Stallings. And since Patricia had just visited Ryan, she was arrested and charged with the murder of her baby.
So even though they had been supervised, they still slipped it to him somehow, is the belief? Wow.
That's what they figured. To make matters worse, slash even more sad, Patricia was actually pregnant with another child. And but she was awaiting trial for the murder of her infant son, and her second boy, David Jr., was then also placed in foster care. But here's where the twists come in. A month after David Jr. was born, he began to experience the same symptoms that Ryan had, but he had zero contact with his mother. So what the fuck was happening?
Right.
They ended up putting him through a series of tests and found out that he had methylmalonic acidemia, or MMA, as I will refer to it for the rest of the story, because that's very hard to say, and I don't know if I said it right. But MMA is a group of genetic conditions which prevents the body from breaking down certain parts of proteins and fats. And what happens is, because the body isn't able to break them down, toxic substances build up in the body, which often results in serious illness and death if not caught and treated properly and quickly. Ooh. Now, this was all relatively new medicinal science at the time, and the defense did bring this testimony explaining that this genetic disease, they brought it to her trial and basically suggested Ryan had also had this disease and that could have been what he had died of. But they failed to bring sufficient evidence to trial and were unable to exonerate Patricia Stallings. They were kind of jerks about it, too, when the lawyer suggested natural causes could have been what Ryan died of. The prosecution responded, "You might as well speculate that some little man from Mars came down and shot him full of some mysterious bacteria." Which is a little far-fetched.
Okay. Yeah, excuse you. My goodness.
But here we are.
Okay.
Patricia was convicted of first-degree murder and assault, and she was sentenced to life in prison. Don't worry, more twists are coming. The following year, Unsolved Mysteries aired an episode on this case, and a biochemist from St. Louis University named William Sly happened to be watching the episode, and he, along with the director of Metabolic Screening Lab, Dr. James Shoemaker, were able to test Ryan's blood, and they did confirm he had the same genetic disease.
Oh my God.
However, remember ethylene glycol, the antifreeze? That is not produced in humans, even those who have MMA. And since the prosecution believed the substance had been found in Ryan's blood, there still wasn't enough evidence for the prosecution that he had died of natural causes.
Okay.
So Patricia remains in prison. But Sly wasn't convinced because he's a G. Okay. Sly.
He loves Sly. Also, his name's Sly. Great, like, he better great come name through.
William, yeah. Sly. Fucking awesome. Ooh, fan of Unsolved it Mysteries. Aren't we all? Sly asked to know what methods were used to determine that ethylene glycol was in Ryan's blood. And they told him. So he sent the samples of blood containing a very, very similar substance that can build up in the body of someone who has MMA, propionic acid, to several commercial blood labs who analyzed the samples using the exact same methods used in the original investigation. And sure enough, about half of the labs came back with incorrect results. About half of the labs came back and said antifreeze. And he knew for a fact that there was no antifreeze. There was antifreeze. No antifreeze present in these labs. So essentially, these labs mistook propionic acid with ethylene glycol. And the evidence was presented to the prosecutor. And thank God, in July of 1991, Patricia Stallings was released and reunited with her son, David Jr. All charges were dismissed. And later on, Patricia successfully sued Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital and the lab that tested Ryan's blood. And
good for her. Gosh, I would have fought like hell. Well, because
the thing is
that
had they tested it properly the Ryan first could have time, survived. Yeah, he may not have even passed. So shout out hardcore to William Sly, who happened to see this episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Sly as hell.
He had a theory, he researched it, and did not stop fighting until the right thing was done. Like, the entire
never
saga
give up
is super horrific. But what would have been more horrific is if William Sly had watched the show, had theories, done nothing, and Patricia Stallings spent her entire life in prison for a murder she didn't commit. That was also her infant son. Like,
right. Her infant horrible son. She's suffering enough that she lost her son. And, you know, she's paying enough for that. And then you're putting her in prison on top of it. So I love that he took action and did not give up. William Sly. Sly and Fly.
Sly
hell
and Fly.
And we love
hell
you.
Also,
oh,
really
so glad
quick,
that had
though
a
ooh
light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, it doesn't, because I hate
oh
to
no
end. This is a real fucking bummer, and I'm only adding it because I'm only adding this in because I really wanted to know if anyone could tell me what happened, because I have looked and looked and looked and can't find it. But David Jr., affectionately called DJ, died in 2013. He was only 23 years old. I found his obituary, but there wasn't any information in there about how he passed. I wonder if he passed because of the genetic disease that he and his brother both had.
That is horrible, but that could absolutely be it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fucking, it's horrible. But yeah, I'm just glad Patricia didn't spend her whole life in prison.
No, that is still a silver
so
lining
unfair
to it. It's so unfair because clearly she lived this very tragic life on top of all of that. So I'm very happy she still got to have her freedom.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, that is so heartbreaking.
So if you are ever watching a show like Unsolved Mysteries and you are a person who has a theory that you could actually research, you know, don't hesitate. Do it. You could save a life.
For
sure.
You
could save multiple lives.
I mean, and along that, like with any mystery, if you see something, you know information
about
it, you
know something.
People. If you see something, say something. That's why that saying exists.
Seriously.
But honestly, yeah.
No matter how small you think it is.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Thank goodness for Sly. Well, we are moving on to one of our favorites, our new segment.
Yay!
This week is
we both went on fun journeys on that one. I liked it. This Week in Weird, our new segment where we bring you all things weird from the current times. We say this week, it's more like this month, this past summer.
Recent
is kind of what I'm talking about.
News.
Recent weird news. Don't get too crazy with the title. Because I am taking something that happened in like June, July, end of July, a little close mix enough of things. Over in Poland, you know, good old Poland.
It took that long for the news to get to us.
You know what? That's it, Ashley. It took until September for me to hear about
this. They had to send a telegraph. It took a while. A messenger came to Lauren's door. It was a pigeon. Carrier pigeon.
Here it is. We got there. So here we are with news out of Poland, and it was a headline that I just could not resist. It's totally up our alley because it said, mass grave with hundreds of vampires has been discovered in Poland. And sure. I thought, what? Mike Flanagan, what are you doing? What
Mike
are you up
Flanagan,
to?
What's your new show about?
What are you doing over there? So
Mike Flanagan's like, I'm doing The Fall of the House of Usher. I don't know what you're talking about.
Busy. Don't talk to me, please. So, but it is somewhat true.
Cool.
A mass grave containing over 400 suspected vampires has been uncovered during an excavation in Poland that happened over June and July in 2023. So the grim discovery was in the village of Luzino in the northeast area of the country, and there were 450 skeletons found in a mass burial, and most of them were beheaded and their skulls were placed between their legs. And in some of the bodies, a coin was placed in the mouths, which is a practice in the region during the 19th century. It was believed to remove a vampire curse.
Okay. Quote. Was it a silver coin?
It was. Mm. No. Yes. It was.
What,
I had to look
no
at the little
no
caption. No. Yes. At first I was like, it was gold. I thought I saw the word gold and I didn't. Yes.
Speaking of vampires, Interview with a Vampire season one is now streaming on Max for anyone to go check it out. It's actually really good. It's really sexy and gay and I love it.
I love Go on. Sexy and gay. I can't wait. Oh, gosh. Everything's making me giggle today. No,
could it
yes.
Be the tequila?
Silver coin. I know. It could be.
That makes sense, though. Silver has always been a, you know, anti-vampire.
A vampire
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not so For much. Sure. Not so much in recent times. We've kind of led silver straight to werewolves. But yeah, it used to be a. Mm-hmm. Vampire repellent.
I know, I was going to say, now, like, things have warped, and mm-hmm. the stories and the superstitions have changed, all of it. But, yes, at the time, a silver coin placed into the mouth, and it was to remove the vampire curse. This was a 19th century belief in this region. An archaeologist on the dig named Maciej Stromski said, we discovered examples of belief in the dead returning from the grave, which could only be stopped by decapitation. It was believed that if a member, this took me a long time to read over and over to understand the tradition.
Okay.
If a member of the deceased's family died shortly after the funeral, then he or she could become a vampire. And upon further research, I was like, what does that sentence mean? So if somebody had passed and then shortly after another member passed, then it was like, oh, okay, they might become a vampire or the deceased may become a vampire. So both had to become beheaded because they thought they were in cahoots in some sort of way.
So they were beheaded.
Is how I interpreted it.
After death.
After death.
This was a post-mortem.
They were decapitated. Okay. Yes. It was like they would be exhumed, decapitated, and put back in if they had already been buried or if it was the case of the next family member that had died just before the burial even happened, decapitated. Off with their heads, because what could be happening? Because it was believed they could be a vampire. And I guess in a lot of these beliefs, vampire wasn't even a term yet. That's more of a modern term mm-hmm. that, you know, as we know, because we've talked about the history of vampires, but it was like a blood-sucking monster or the undead or
zombie.
You know, something. Yes, but all of them had the traits of what we know
which
as modern
vampires. Which I think it's
interesting
that even zombies back then, they were like, sever the head. Like, you have to take out the head. Yeah.
Part of me just smiles that I'm like, we've all been weirdos all along.
Ever since the beginning of time.
Just like that for us. So, yeah, after the burial, the grave could be dug up, the deceased's head was cut off, and then it was placed between the legs or near the pelvis. So it was just kind of like they were like almost cradling their own head down below, and then they were stopped from coming above the grave. Researchers also discovered an example of what happened to a woman after decapitation, and her skull would be between her legs, but also if she had had a child who has passed away or a child related, if it was her child or a child related to her, could be a niece, nephew, whoever, the skull of the child would be laid on her bosom because that was like the way the child was protected, or the child was sort of keeping her from rising, saying like, oh, the child is here, you must keep both of your bodies safe. So there was all kind of superstition around that as well.
Honestly, I think they were just throwing everything at the wall. They were like, listen,
they were like, what's gonna stick, what's gonna work?
Throw a couple skulls in there,
just put all the skulls on top of the lady and see what happens. But just going over all of the options that there were lots of superstitions and lots of beliefs. And in around 30% of the graves uncovered, researchers had also found bricks placed next to the skeletons' legs, arms, and heads. This was most likely in hopes to weigh them down so they could not go beyond the grave. And then also in July, in a totally different area, so this was in one spot, then in a different area of Poland, at the end of July 2023, a village called Pien, first one was Luzino, now we're in Pien, there was an excavation in a 17th century cemetery. I think before it was more 19th century, they were saying. 17th century cemetery had similar skeletal remains. One of note was the remains of a child lying face down with a padlock near their feet and a silk cap on their head. So it was believed with the silk cap that they were of high social status, but still believed to be a blood-sucking demon. And the placement of being face down and with the padlock around the feet was another way to keep them from coming up from the grave. And it just, it matches up with all of the journals and historical accounts of like that period of time in the 17th century of what the church believed was happening around them. And both of these cemeteries were in very close proximity to churches in the village. So we're getting on to, again, it just sounds like midnight mass, Mike Flanagan.
Yeah.
And kind of the church and, you know, spreading the talk of the town, spreading around like, oh, if we're seeing anything bad, if there's any wrongdoing, that is a vampire. If this horrible thing is happening to us, it must be because vampires or zombies or demons are upon us. It was spreading the belief that anything seeming slightly off was probably from the underworld. So it was all kind of matching up. And in September of 2022, just one more Polish thing that I found, the remains of a female vampire were found pinned to the ground by a sickle across her throat and a padlocked toe to prevent her from returning from the dead. This was, again, also in a Polish cemetery that she was found. So lots of vampire graves in Poland have been uncovered in the last 2 years that I didn't even realize. And it's just, it's giving the next vampire movie. I feel like there's going to be a story surrounding this somehow. Like, we can make something of this, but...
Bitch, listen. You are not going to stop me by padlocking my toe, okay?
I'm coming out of the grave.
Barely a part of my body.
I have bunions. My toe, it's all become part of my foot, and the rest of my foot is just going to...
Listen, I'm going to kick straight through that padlock. What are you thinking?
I'm going to kick straight through.
So this wasn't, was this, do you know, did they say, was this a place in which if you were suspected of being a vampire, you got buried there? Or was this a place where like there was a rash of vampires being buried at once? It sounds so more like part
that
two.
That is an interesting question, because in the first case that I was talking about, it was a mass burial and it was a time of war. And so that was always a thing. Death, if there was an epidemic, a war, if there's a lot of death, it's like, let's protect ourselves. Clearly something bad is happening.
We don't know about germs yet.
Exactly. So in the case of the mass grave, that is exactly what was happening, where it was just like something evil is upon us. So it's, let's definitely stop them from coming back. But in the case of kind of these single graves that they found of some women and children buried a little more isolated around, those seem to be almost like witch hunt cases, where it's not to the maybe same numbers as Salem. You know, I don't know if it went down in history the same way, but it was enough that it's been marked in some journals and historical accounts of like, oh, a woman had a talent, so we padlocked her toe.
A woman made a decision on her own And we're going to have to take care of that by padlocking her toe to a grave.
Sickle to the throat. Yeah. So it's I guess it's a little bit of both. And again, these were from different centuries that they're finding these bones. But I just thought it was so interesting. I was like, Poland, you got some stuff going on.
Yeah. You guys have mass vampire graves.
Here for it, honestly.
Did happy Halloween, guys. Did vampires and the act of like burying vampires, did that make it to the United States? I know like legends and lore of vampires. When we had Billy on, we talked about like the vampire of New Orleans and things like that. But we don't have any like mass graves like that that have been found. That's
not that we've found. We're going to find them.
That's our legacy.
No, but that is interesting because, nobody has found them yet. I do wonder if it exists. I wonder.
I mean, barely, but we're
somewhere.
All right.
That we haven't discovered yet. We shall see.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
Mass vampire graves. So dark.
We are out of control.
We are. Listen, it's been a weird, like I said last week, quote unquote, last week's episode, which was recorded an hour and a half ago.
Today.
It's been a weird day. It's been a weird day for everyone.
I cried in a bathroom at school.
She cried in a bathroom. I wasn't fine. I cleaned up every fluid a cat could possibly.
All kinds of poop, y'all.
My cat pooped on my sweatpants when I got home. And I don't know why. They've never done it before. And
I'm
upset about it. Pretty sure it was the little one. Pretty sure it was Frankie.
Frankie.
I told Joe to interrogate them. But he thinks it's Penny.
I cannot imagine sweet Penny.
I can't imagine Penny doing anything like that to my sweatpants. She knows how much I like the sweatpants. I was planning on putting them on as soon as I got home, and instead I found a pile of poopy on them.
Pile of poopy.
Hello, twisted humans. Do you find yourself wanting to know more about the latest murder, conspiracy, cult, or haunting?
Then this is the podcast for you.
In 1952, there was a record high of UFOs reported. 1,500 sightings.
There has been evidence of human sacrifice, devil worship, and it is haunted by more spirits than can be counted.
A family of two adults and two kids reportedly saw a giant flying thing with glowing red eyes.
And meanwhile, the family's nanny that helped Veronica to care for her and Lucian's children was found bludgeoned to death in the basement of their family home.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sierra. And this is Twisted and Uncorked.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. This doesn't need to be included on the podcast. Obviously, this is very personal. But I was looking over at my phone because my prescription was finally.
Oh, thank God.
After my mental
breakdown. She doesn't have to cry
tonight.
In the bathroom anymore. Her prescription
CBS,
is here.
They did it. Oh my gosh. Seriously, you've been out without it for 5 days. Okay, sorry. That is very exciting. Continue.
Are you ready for
the Hulk straw went wild. I'm ready.
An unsolved mystery. I miss that song.
Mystery. Me too. Thank you for giving us that gift.
I'm gonna watch Unsolved Mysteries after that. This mystery
takes place.
Ooh. Nope. Not even gonna do this. No, I am. But I have to tell you guys, Joe and I just started watching it. A listener plugged it on our Facebook page, and actually your sister was the one that was like, Ashley, you have to watch this. But
sweet Julie.
Paranormal Caught on Camera. It's on Max right now.
She has been telling me about this.
It's so good. Here's the thing. The first season is really good. And guess who is on the show?
Who?
Sapphire from Stories with Sapphire.
No way!
I've been on that podcast. It's a fucking awesome show. If you haven't checked it out, Stories the with Connection. Sapphire, so good. She's one of the people like commenting, and I even messaged her. I was like, "It's so I'm getting such a kick out of seeing you on the show. It's so cool." So she's on the show.
Okay, I really love that.
Yeah. So season one of the show, legitimately, like the cryptid videos, the UFO videos, the ghost videos. Horrifying. It is so scary.
Okay.
So far, season two, not as big of a fan. There's too many videos that seem altered.
Okay.
So we'll see. I'm going to keep going with it because we're really jamming on it. Joe and I went through. I managed to get Joe hooked on it. I was like, just watch one episode with me. Like, I think you'll like it. There's UFO stuff.
Give it a chance.
And we've watched season one in a weekend. So anyways, check that out.
Yes. The end. Here for it.
Unsolved mystery. This mystery takes place in the Himalayas in India.
Okay. We're traveling.
We're traveling. Here we go. It's a small lake called Rupkund. But it has a very macabre and yet also alarmingly accurate nickname, Skeleton Lake. And that is because in 1942, an Indian forest official named H.K. Madwal stumbled upon hundreds of human skeletons stockpiled in and around Rupkund Lake. And because of how cold it was in the Himalayas, all of these bodies were very well preserved. Some of them even still had flesh attached. And today, we know that the lake contains between 300 and 800 bodies.
That's so many
bodies.
I don't love that.
It's not my favorite.
Okay. Tell me more, I guess.
This was not announced to the public until 8 whole years later because what do you even say when you find a lake full of 800 bodies and you don't know how they got there or who they are, how long they've been there or what happened to them? So it wasn't until actually 2004. And again, this was discovered in 1942. It wasn't until 2004 that a forensic analysis was done on the skeletons that were left there. Because initially, the skeletons were thought to belong to a troop of Japanese soldiers or possibly even Tibetan traders who died due to either an epidemic or exposure to the elements. But after this analysis, wherein they found no weapons, so they were like, okay, so it's not a troop of soldiers. Mm-hmm. And the bones were a hell of a lot older than they initially thought. The best theory was that actually a group of Indian pilgrims, men and women, possibly assisted by locals of the region, were on a revered once-in-a-12-year Hindi pilgrimage, which I will actually get to later. And they believed this because they did find a lot of, like, musical instruments and things of that and, like, pilgrimage-esque things.
Yeah.
And Rupkund,
we are on a journey.
Exactly, was on the route of this pilgrimage that is still a tradition to this day. So they actually theorized all of these people were killed in a single event in the 9th century. And that event, if you can believe it, was giant hail. So all of these people were traveling through, a hailstorm came, enormous hail, and killed all of these people, and they wound up in this lake.
How big was the hail?
So that's terrifying, but it does get weirder, because in 2010, the first ancient human genome was sequenced, so the mystery was once again resurrected, and 38 powdered bone samples were taken from the skeletal remains, and they were sent to 16 labs worldwide for genomic and biomolecular analysis. And in 2019, they published the results, and what they found was that the 38 samples of skeletons actually belong to three genetically distinct groups and were deposited at the lake during multiple events over a 1,000-year period.
What?
And that was just 38 samples, like, of powdered bone fragment. So, like, who knows how many there actually are. But of those 38 samples, a South Asian group whose bones were deposited between the 7th and 10th century in multiple events, There was a new group of individuals of Eastern Mediterranean ancestry originating in the island of Crete who died in the 19th century in seemingly a single event. And there was one sample that had Southeast Asian origin also from the 19th century. But here's
the
thing.
The hail, the hail is going on with this lake.
The presence of the groups of non-Indian origin at the lake was quite a shock to these people researching it because there is zero historical evidence to explain who these people were and what they were doing in the far reaches of the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Of course, we're always learning new things about history. We always think we've got it down. We know everything. And then all of a sudden we find an Egyptian queen that we've never even fucking heard of who reigned for several years. Huh. So it's like, duh. Great. Like, we don't know everything. But
yes, of course. But still.
But I do have to touch on like how literally in the middle of nowhere this freaking lake is and how hard it is to get to. The trek currently is 5 days of travel from the nearest settlement, which is over 50 kilometers away, the villages that exist there now. Okay. And the highest point of said trek is this like knife-like edge ridge that's 5,000 meters high that you have to climb this mountain and go on this tiny little knife-like edge ridge.
Like something I would never do.
So it's not like
is what you're saying.
On the way to anything easy to get to.
Let me just cut through here. Yeah. It's my shortcut. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So what the fuck happened to all these people?
What?
Like how did they
end up
in this one small lake in the middle of the Himalayas? Like is this where people end up when they go missing without a trace? Is this hell? What's happening?
I was going to say, vanished without a trace. They appear. There's like some
fucking
appear
in this portal that leads them to Rupkun Lake.
Rupkun Lake. What you got going on?
There are a few theories, none of which we have any evidence to point towards. We're just kind of grasping at straws. But it could have been a place known for ritual suicide. It could have been at one point an open-air cemetery or a place where victims of an epidemic were dumped to prevent contagion, but seriously, it's such a tough trek and so far out of the
way. Right. That feels wild.
But I did want to touch on, because they're the people in the nearest villages to this lake claim they know exactly what this lake is. They have a story of their own. It's a story passed down in folk songs and campfire stories and bedtime tales. So like,
we love that. Bring us the urban legend.
So that pilgrimage I talked about earlier, it's a pilgrimage to honor Nanda Devi, a manifestation of Parvati, a supreme goddess in Hinduism. And the pilgrimage, which like I said earlier, happens every 12 years, and it does wind through the foothills of these three mountain peaks that resemble a trident, which is also where they believe this goddess lives, like she resides.
Okay.
It might be, it's rivaled, but it might be the longest and most dangerous pilgrimage in India. The most dangerous part of which is called the Path of Death. And it is along that knife-like ridge above Rupkun Lake. So apparently the idea that people could fall off this ridge and end up in the lake is not crazy. Have not seen any photographs that like point out like where this ridge
exactly
is according to the lake, but maybe it's that.
It's believable.
But as the locals tell it, long ago, Nanda Devi left her home to visit a distant kingdom where she was treated discourteously by the king and queen. Did they know she was a goddess?
How dare they? Excuse you.
Excuse you. I am Nanda Devi.
You better show some respect to the goddess.
These floors need swept. Nanda Devi supposedly cursed the kingdom, unleashing drought and disaster, infesting the milk and rice with maggots, like totally took her revenge on this kingdom. And in order to appease the goddess and save their kingdom, the royal couple embarked on a pilgrimage to her home. The king brought along a bevy of dancing courtesans and musicians, which apparently was a violation of the traditions of past pilgrimage. I don't know enough about pilgrimages.
I don't know the rules.
But if Nanda says she don't like it, I'm going to side with the already angry goddess on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with her. I don't want any more anger unleashed.
I'm not going to bring my dancing courtesans, okay, on this trip. As much as I like watching them shake their little butts, like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, no. I am going to listen to her. All right.
She was furious with this display of earthly pleasures, and she shoved the dancing girls down into the underworld. And then she sent a blizzard of hail and a whirlwind, which swept up all the pilgrims on the path of death into the lake.
See? Okay. Nanda.
The skeletons in this lake are a warning to those who would disrespect the goddess. So, it's possible this lake is just filled with the bodies of people who Nanda Devi isn't a fan of.
Yeah. And she's like, don't mess with me. Or you're going to be like them. I'm showing you.
Look at this big lake full of skeletons. You will be one of them if you bring your belly dancers.
Don't you bring a dancer on this trip. You show respect to the path. I just can't believe that it's that cold, also, that the bodies were preserved so well that there was still flesh on the bones upon discovery. Wild. That has just stuck with me since the beginning of the story. But also, I love the story of Nanda, and I believe it.
Same. Anthropologists do want to get... they want to do a systematic, proper archaeological investigation of the site, but so far it's proven too hard to get to in order to make that happen. People literally die on the way to this lake between exposure, blizzards, extreme altitude sickness, and apparently angry goddesses. Like, it's really fucking hard to get to.
Yeah, if you haven't said it enough, impossible. Like, this is not a good path.
But apparently, you know, some people get there because a lot of the bones have been disturbed. People will, like, take them. Arrange them in piles. There's kind of creepy piles of bones there. I don't know. People
just trying to be spooky weirdos.
I don't know. We don't claim them.
I don't like it.
But
yeah, we don't claim them.
Skeleton Lake in the middle of the Himalayas. Wow. Filled with, as far as we know, 800 bodies.
Whole lot of bones this episode.
A lot of bones.
You weren't lying in that intro. Bones. Murder and bones. That was... actually, there was no murder, though, as we found out from your story. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, it's been a good time. Hope you guys learned something.
We've had a lot of fun. Lots of education, I will say. And lots of anthropology and tradition coming into play, totally. Because I realized there was even something in my story. I didn't say the word when you were talking about anthropologists in yours. It reminded me that this way of burial, which I think we've talked about with like our witchy stories too, it's an apotropaic type of burial,
okay.
Which is a type of burial that wards off evil spirits. And sometimes like witch symbols are also considered like apotropaic symbols. And so I just wanted to include that big word that I didn't know until I researched.
Big word. And that's going to be your vocabulary
part of our education
this week. Use it in a sentence.
Apotropaic. Warding off evil spirits. A safety, a protection. Yay. Okay. Anyway, I hope we educated you along with depressing you with our stories.
Yeah, and not depressing you too much. We try to keep it even keel here. But
that's why I kept the Hulk
straw. And my little, this is a flamingo.
We're so cute. Okay.
We have to go. Lauren's hammered.
We have to get out of here.
That is all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for joining us. As usual, we love you so much. Please, if you are listening to this on YouTube, or you feel like logging on to YouTube, head over to youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast and like this video and subscribe to our channel. We promise we only post one thing a week. You're not going to get a lot of notifications.
You sure won't.
It costs you nothing.
Keep it simple.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
It's just being nice.
Follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast. We are primarily on Instagram and Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is essentially our Instagram part two, but we also have a Facebook group where we share really funny memes or really creepy TikToks, and we have a couple chats going. We have a mental health chat where we all check in with each other every once in a while, make sure everyone's doing good. If anyone needs some advice or needs to vent, we are here for you. We also have a horror movie chat. So we talk about what we're watching. We make recommendations. We talk about what we didn't like. Womp womp. And we have an astrology chat. Hasn't had a lot of action lately. And we have a general weird chat. So there's a lot of stuff going on Facebook. Join us there. We haven't made it over to Threads yet. We might someday. We'll see.
Maybe.
I don't know. Blue Sky.
We'll see.
I have a Blue Sky account. I've never used it, but it's on my phone. So
we're trying. Trying everything.
We're trying. We're also on TikTok at Keep It Weird Cast. And I'm really enjoying TikTok. But basically, you can follow us on one platform if you don't want to follow us on all five. We post the same shit on all of them.
The same things. Yeah, I'm like, it's all crossover. We could do it.
It's crossed over. Anyways, and if you would please, if you have a couple dollars to spare this month, less than a cup of coffee, head over to patreon.com/keepitweirdpass. Keep it weird pass. Patreon.com.
Keep it weird creepy pasta.
Keep it weird podcast. You can donate some money, some dollars to our show. And in return, you get bonus episodes and discounts on merch and shout outs on the show. So do that, please. Mm-mm-mm. But now it is time.
We love it.
To the windows, to the walls, to the walls, to the honey dropped on my balls, and all these bees did crawl. Ah, oh, buzz, buzz, motherfucker! Ah, buzz, buzz, I came. Ah, oh, buzz, buzz, motherfucker!
The queen never fails at her songs for Hive Mind.
It's Hive Mind. It is time for us to send a psychic message to each other via the internet. It is harder than it looks, folks, as we have
gosh concluded. Dang it. Even though last week we did it.
We did it.
With last some week. Jeff and Jane juju.
Jeff and Jane help. I'm not looking at the card. Oh, I have to look at the card because I'm sending you the message. This is the card.
Okay.
We're going to meditate on it for a moment, and then we are going to let it go and see if it comes to us. Ready? Anything popping out at you yet?
I feel like I'm seeing a road, so that's not great.
Okay, well, let's just have a chat.
Little street. All right, so a little chit-chat regarding the street.
Are you going to be watching anything this Halloween that you're looking forward to?
Ooh, well, hopefully a movie with you. We need to watch They Live.
I know, it's streaming now, too.
I know, so we need to have our They Live night. But I mean, I want to watch all of the classics. I like to watch Halloween, a few of them, Friday the 13th. A good old Nightmare on Elm Street. Throw all the classics in there. Maybe a Scream or two. I don't know.
I really want to see you? Talk to Me. I haven't seen Talk to Me yet. I've heard really good things.
Yes! Okay, thank you. Julia and I have still been doing like our sister watches, and I have been telling her I think Talk to Me needs to be our next one. But also, I want to watch it with you, but I totally respect if you and Joe watch it on your own. But I don't know. Part of me
I really want to watch that. It's not streaming yet, though, and it's not even available to rent. So I have some time to wait, I guess. But
for sure.
I've also been watching Chucky Season 2 is finally premiering on Peacock. So I've
been
watching
that. Wait, did it premiere?
September 4th.
Watch that. Yep.
It was last Monday. It's on there now.
Okay, so I am looking forward to watching that. And also, have you watched Cobweb yet?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Me either. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay.
Been wanting to talk to you about it. Julia and I watched it together, and we both, I feel like we're scared to say it was bad because we wanted it to be good because we were texting.
So many people were like,
watching it. We were like, it's, that was jumpy. And then, but then at the end of it, we were sort of like, but then, like, what actually just happened? But I did, I liked the dragging of the, like, witch hair all over the place. I
loved kind of everything that happened. I just don't think they pulled it off. Like, I don't think the performances were good. I don't think that,
and
like,
I wanted a bit more, a bit more build up to it, a little more story. Like, yeah. I wanted
how
a little
you,
more tension.
How did you trap this thing in here? Is it your daughter?
Or is it just a great the things. Plus sign. Okay, listen to what I was seeing and why this angers me so much. Because I was seeing a sphere, a like half sphere over a road.
Oh.
So to me, I was like, two intersecting things is a plus sign.
Like,
but I wonder if I was seeing the top of the circle.
And it was just over the horizon. You just maybe you had to follow
like a
the
sun.
Road.
It looked like a sun peeking over the road. So I was like, intersection. But I should have gone with like sphere. Ugh. See,
listen, we'll get it next time. The only thing I saw, I do like hearing what comes into your mind, because the thing that kept coming into my mind last time, and the reason I thought it was star, I didn't see a single triangle this time. I saw like eight triangles.
See,
and so I was
that's
like,
something.
What could be eight triangles? Like nothing. I actually almost said circle because I was like, oh, maybe it's like a pie, like a slice
like
of a
it's
pie.
Piecing together.
Yeah, but the edges were not rounded. They were very flat. So I
so
said
I'm glad
star.
You're a star. See, okay. So there is a part of me that thinks we are like
something's
sending
happening.
Something because we're piecing things together.
Or we're insane.
Or
find out later
we're done.
On Keep It Weird. We hope you guys have a really, really lovely week. We will see you soon. Keep it weird.